All right, shalom everybody. Welcome to Soldier for Christ Global Community Church. Pastor being like, oh, he's reading again. Yeah, I'm getting used to it though, Pastor Ben.
That's funny, that's
I want to thank all of the people all around the world who has made that possible. The Soldiers for Christ Global Community Church. I got a letter from Germany, Poland, and I'm telling you, this is pretty strange. They're on assault call. On assault call, they got calls from Japan, China. I'm like, it's beautiful, I'll tell you that much.
Amen.
Okay.
Pastor Ben is from Toledo. Yes.
Yeah, Pastor Ben from Toledo, Ohio. Yep. And so, yeah, we're pretty blessed. I want to take a sip of and then we're going to get into this study after I pray. I was thinking my wife would walk in any minute now, but she has not. So I am going to pray us in. Amen. And then we're going to get started. Please bow your heads. Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we want to thank you for this day. We thank you, Father God, for your word. Thank you, God, Father God, for the way you lead and guide me in your word, and you lead and guide me in what to say. That you give me so much new information. I thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. I just pray that I can communicate the information that you've given me to your people, Father God, so that they know the day and the hour that they're living in. We thank you, Father God, for your word. We thank you for everyone who's listening, no matter what country, no matter what. We just pray, Father God, for everyone. And we thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I am okay. I'm going to show you guys something first, if Pastor Ben will show this.
Yes, sir.
Could you show them the Washington Monument? Okay. Now, if you guys receive this in your notes for tonight, that is an aerial view of the Washington Monument. So just say you're standing on top of the Washington Monument and you're looking down. You're going to be looking at a symbol of an all-seeing eye, okay? So the Washington Monument was placed right there in the middle of an all-seeing eye, okay? And so we have to know that they did that on purpose, okay? Because we don't really understand America. For you to understand America, you have to understand the roots of America. You have to understand the people that were in charge of setting up the governments and setting up religion and all of these things. Also, 1776 is not just a happenstance. They didn't just say, oh, it's 1776, let's start a country called America. It is a division of 888 and 888, which is a war between a false Christ and the real Christ, and they're declaring that war. And they truly believe that they can defeat God and establish themselves as rulers over earth and over human beings, which God says they're nuts as well, Pastor Ben, so that's good. So I wanted you guys to have that picture so that you see that we are in the middle of a spiritual war, and we already know who the winner is because he's written it.
Right.
But I want to tell you guys a story that the Lord put in my head this morning to help you understand what he's expecting from you as members of the body of Christ, okay? So there's a story. This story is about a little girl who loved her daddy. She loved her daddy so much. They lived in a really nice house in their neighborhood. And even though it wasn't the greatest neighborhood, they lived in a really nice, beautiful house. And all of their needs were met. They had plenty of money. They had nice cars. The wife had nice cars. The kids always had everything that they needed. And this little daughter just loved her dad. And every year around Thanksgiving time, she would watch her dad rent a truck and load it with turkeys and all kinds of food and hand it out to the poorer people that were living in the neighborhood. And so she would watch her dad just helping all of these poor people eat during Thanksgiving. Then they'd go inside and they'd have their Thanksgiving. And she just loved that her dad did that every year. Then when Christmas would come down, her dad would rent a big truck and load it up with toys and all kinds of goodies. And the poor people that lived in the neighborhood would come by and the kids could pick whatever toy they wanted. And then he'd also give them food. And she saw her dad do this year after year. And she just thought, my dad is the greatest ever, right? So then one day she's watching television when she gets a little older, around 14 years old, and she sees her dad on TV getting arrested. And he's getting arrested because they discovered that he is one of the biggest drug dealers in the city and one of the biggest drug dealers in the state. A matter of fact, he was selling drugs so much that he had really become a millionaire by selling drugs. The neighborhood that he lived in was having a lot of problems with people ODing on heroin and cocaine, and parent people were losing their parents and things like that. And they had no idea all the drugs was coming from this one man who year by year would show himself to be a really nice guy. But now it was all coming out that he had been a drug dealer. So as he's arrested, the little girl becomes understanding of the fact that the reason why she had it so good was because her dad was profiting off of all the people who lived in the neighborhood and were being ODing and losing parents and people going to jail over drugs. This was all coming from her dad. And she realized she had it good in her house and everything that she needed, but it was all at the expense of everyone else in the neighborhood who was suffering. And the Lord said, this is what people in the United States of America don't understand. Yes, we are one of the richest countries in the world, but that is because of what we do to other countries. That is because of how we take over other countries, how we take over oil, how we take over land, how we take over resources. And now if people come here, opportunities are great because opportunities are always great in a rich man's house. Mm-hmm. And we're a rich man, so it's great to come to America because you can get a job, because the other people that are in the other countries are really suffering because this one country is stealing resources, stealing oil, stealing diamonds, and militarily controlling the world through might. So God wants you guys to know and understand this, because it's okay to love America and to say that America is a great place, but you have to understand that the reason why we're great is because we've taken advantage of a lot of so many other people. So for us to be more involved in saving America than Jesus coming, this is why God gave me the story. He says, we're so strong about saving America, saving America. We're gonna save America. Trump's gonna come back. They're doing conferences where you can go the patriots, and we're Christians and we're patriots and we're going to save America and all of this stuff. And you guys have absolutely no idea why America loves Israel so much. America loves Israel because Lucifer's doctrine says that the power of resurrection is in the temple. So they have to have Israel back so that they can one day build the temple so that they can then have the power of resurrection, which they believe, Luciferians believe, that it's going to be inside of the temple. So I'm trying to clear my throat at the same time. Let me drink something. So the joy that we have of being Americans is beautiful because you're in a rich man's house. And it appears that the rich man does nice things for other countries. We let their immigrants come in, all of these things, but we don't tell you what we've done to their countries and why they need to leave their countries to come to America.
Amen.
So the Lord is really like, my people shouldn't be like this. Okay, my people should understand that your citizenship is no longer earthly. You don't have an American citizenship anymore once you accepted Christ. You have become a citizen of heaven. You have become a commonwealth of the Commonwealth of Israel. You've become displaced from human activity and placed yourself into a godly activity, and understand that God is now your main source.
Yes.
When I was so heavily like, I gotta be a Muslim, I changed my name. The guy that was able to bring me out of Islam told me one thing. He said, never let your color determine your religion. Because he knew I had chosen Islam because there were a lot of black people becoming Muslims. But if you're Asian, you're going to choose Buddhism because you're choosing tradition over God. If you're Hispanic or Latin, you're going to choose Catholic because you're choosing tradition over God. Okay? If you're black, sometimes you might even choose the old black Baptist church. And you know ain't nothing good there, but you're choosing tradition over God, okay? And God does not want us to choose tradition, because tradition in the Greek is the only 666 that exists in the New Testament, other than the numbers in Revelation, and tradition is 666. So understand that when I show you the National Monument and from an aerial view, it's the all-seeing eye. That means whoever put this thing here knows and understands that America was built not to worship Jesus. America was not built. We can't say, the nation was established on Christian principles. We know perfectly that Washington, our first president was a Freemason.
Yeah.
Our second president was a Freemason. So Freemasonry was heavy in this country from the very beginning. So why we are as Christians, and it's good, and I understand what Trump did. Trump made everybody say, maybe we can have America back. Maybe we can stop. And then some people say Trump was a part of the whole thing. I don't believe it. They hated him too well. If he was a part of it, the acting job was superfluous, right? Because Nancy Pelosi hated Trump. They wanted anything. You had witches praying to get him out of there.
Yeah.
So something about Trump wasn't in agreement with what Satan was doing, okay? And so, but since that's over, you have to realize we all got too involved in America. I was even starting to think, wow, maybe they are going to take over the Federal Reserve and change the dollar system and all this stuff. And maybe Trump is going to. But I started losing my mind. You know what I was losing my mind? I forgot what the Bible said. The Bible said that Jesus is going to be the only one that's going to bring peace and prosperity. And that times are going to wax worse and worse till the end. So I had forgot the Bible and started almost thinking, wow, maybe Trump's going to do it. But then the Lord spoke to me and said, he's only here to slow down Satan until I take my people out.
Yeah.
And so they couldn't even figure out how he got into the presidency. Now, let me read a couple of things because I want you guys to know. Okay, America, or A-M-E-R-I-C-U-A, was already a name being used in this country in the beginning. America, the meaning of it means the plum serpent or the winged serpent, okay? That is the root of the name of America. It was not named after a man. It was named after a god that... the Indians and the people that were living here were worshiping at the time, which was the winged serpent. Okay, there's a guy called Manly P. Hall who wrote a book called Secret Destiny of America. And he said the problem was at one time, the unity of the 10 kings governed the world of Atlantis. And the unity of the 10 kings was under the worship of Quetzalcoatl or Amerku, the winged serpent, okay? So worshiping the winged serpent was what was going on in America before anyone got here, okay? The Freemasons just adopted it and they liked the idea. And so they adopted the name America. But it is the land of the winged serpent, okay? Now, their master plan for Freemasons to bring back the lost land of Atlantis is to reestablish 10 kings throughout the whole world, which is in the Bible and says they're going to do it. It says, they said their 10 kings are going to rise up out of the sea, and the Club of Rome has already determined that they're going to separate the world into 10 regions. So that's already something they're going to do. Now, but Manly P. All says that America is going to be the first country to reestablish the fallen Atlantis and bring back the order of the 10 kings. So this whole country is being structured off of what? Bringing about the plans of the Freemasons and Lucifer. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's why I see it. So if you're saying to yourself, I want to save America, I want to save America, and you're a born again Christian, you're going to have to back up because your citizenship is in heaven, and God knows that America is not going to be your answer.
Amen.
Let me see. Now, on the other page, we had the Heineken thing, right?
Uh-huh.
And you can see if you turned it, they turned the bottle of Heineken upside down. And so the three E's become three sixes. You see that? And the star becomes upside down, so it becomes a Baphomet star. So now Heineken, they're building, if you take a, and I'm talking about, you take a picture of the overhead, and it's in the shape of a swastika.
Really?
So you guys have to understand that there is a lot going on in this country, just like that little girl that I just told you about. There's a lot going on in our house that you don't know about. You just appreciate the luxury of being able to say you're American, we're the most prosperous country in the world, blah, blah, blah. But there's a God in heaven that knows how America got its prosperity, right? There's a God in heaven that knows. I mean, you think about this. We bombed Iran, Iraq, and all that stuff. And then we used the Halliburton Company to rebuild the whole country. So we just, we gave ourselves a trillion-dollar construction job to an American company. So, you know, it's like these things that we don't understand that are going on, we need to kind of pump our brakes and say, is my loyalty to America or is my loyalty to Jesus? Am I still holding on to my citizenship for America, or am I going to try and understand that my citizenship is now in heaven? My nationality, my race, black, white, Hispanic, all that stuff, throw it to the side. You're all the Commonwealth of Israel. You're one people under God. So all of these things are going to have to be thrown aside because you have now governed yourself into a new citizenship, which is a heavenly citizenship under the Commonwealth of Israel. Even the Jews and the Gentiles, God is considering one. And we'll get to that later.
Amen.
Okay. Why am I telling you this? Because something is about to happen in this world, which is called the rapture. No one's going to be able to deny it. No one's going to be able to get around it. Okay? We are so close to tribulation, and none of us are really, I wouldn't say none of us, but we're not really understanding that what God wrote is going to happen. You don't have to guess. You don't have to say, I wonder. And now that we're in these last days of this prophecy, because 1948 is 1948, 1967 is 1967. We're not going to be able to change the last generation and that it started, okay? So we have to understand that they're pushing the world into this area where the tribulation is about to take place. I believe that God will take his people out before God allows them to take over his people.
Yep.
And they're pushing for that. You have this guy. Could you show this picture, Pastor? Mm-hmm. No. Oh. This is page 3.
Ouchie.
This is the guy that we're letting tell us everything to do. He tells us if we're sick or not. He tells us, even if you're not feeling sick, he tells you if you're sick or not. So you might get tested and they'll say, oh, you're sick. And you're like, but I don't feel anything. And they'll go, no, you have it. And so now you need this, right? But you've got, okay, now the bottom picture is the telltale. Because he walks into the press conference, and as soon as he walks in, he does the hidden hand sign of the Freemasons to let the Luciferians know that I'm with you. You have to really watch this to get a full grasp of what he's doing, okay? Because as he just walks in casually, and there's nobody else on that panel that's putting their hand inside, but it's one of the secret moves of Freemasons to let them know that that I am with you, right? So as soon as he gets up there, he puts his hand in his jacket, the hidden hand, which is one of the hidden symbols of Freemasonry. Then at the top, he's doing the Bophomite thing. And I mean, even if I call for a waiter, I don't do that. That kind of looks like, I guess he maybe he's calling for a waiter or whatever. But he does these signs. And so we have to know and understand that this man is completely under satanic rulership, okay? Yet we're allowing him to dictate to us rather we're sick, rather our businesses can be open. Everything is being dictated by this guy because other people are controlling him. And you bet, if he stood up there and said, you know, I don't want to do this no more, let's let it be over with, he'd be dead tomorrow.
Tonight.
Okay? So I want you guys to know and understand what's going on, okay? Now, before I go there, I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 2. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. See, and I saw here, yeah. And it says, for all who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law. And all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but those who obey. Who obey the law, who will, I am in Romans. I'm very sorry. Thank you very much. I'm like, this don't sound right. He's like, what kind of Bible does this man have? Okay, now we're here.
Ephesians 2,
I think we're going to start 11 and 12. Yeah. Here we go. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who called themselves circumcised, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenant of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, you who once were far away, have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, dividing wall of hostility. And abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulation. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostilities. Okay, now listen. God is using Christ to save both Jews and Gentiles.
Yes.
We were once far off away from God. Once we had no opportunity to come to Christ, okay, to be joined into God's family. But now that Christ has done this, he's done it so that both Jews and Gentiles can be united as one family in God. So he made this division and he says, now you are no longer, you're all citizens of one group. We are of the Commonwealth of Israel. You understand? We are all under the banner of Jesus Christ under a new blood type. You understand? So, to be fighting over black issues, white issues, Hispanic issues in the body of Christ is foolishness, because once you accepted Christ, you abandoned that, okay? So I'm looking at one of the churches down in San Diego, and the guy used to be a good pastor. I'm trying to listen to him. All he's talking about is the injustices of black people in America. And I'm like, when is he going to talk about Christ? But the government and the people have him on a whole different thing, because he's getting under the agenda of what the government is doing or what these Luciferians are doing. So this is not about color. This is about you gave up all of that so that you can come and be part of the Commonwealth of Israel under God's family and be one people. You make the two one, be one people under Christ. Okay?
Amen.
Let's go to Philippians chapter 3.
Philippians chapter 3.
We're going to be in verse 10. We're going to start off at verse 10. Okay. You're in chapter 3, and let's start here at verse 10. It says, I want you to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in death, and so somehow to attain to resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brother, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heaven upward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, and their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. So our citizenship is where? In heaven. And that's what we're waiting for, okay? So, I'm watching a conference on patriotism. They have got the whole country hyped up on patriotism. Yeah. They got Christians so hyped up on patriotism, their hope is in bringing down the evil Biden government and reestablishing Trump and bringing back America and all of this stuff. Their hope has completely disintegrated from the hope of Christ, even though they believe in Christ, but their hope is not in that Christ is coming to save them. Their hope is that somehow America's going to get turned around and we're going to have a revival and everything's going to be fine again. And I'm telling you, that's the wrong hope, because there is a spiritual war going on, and America that you're trying to bring back has never really been a nice place for other countries.
Right.
It's been a nice place for us because our daddy's rich and we live here. But for other people, this has not been the best place. Okay, so you have to understand, you're not fighting for it. When Jesus comes, America's going to be judged.
Yep.
Let's go to Zechariah chapter 14. People mad at God because how did we let these people back into the White House? You know, why couldn't he have won? Then no, that's not what the plan is. Remember, the Antichrist is coming. The whole world will worship the beast. You know that scripture? All of that's coming. So to sit here and try to make up your own ending is like, I don't want to say something doing rude to God, but it's like you're looking God in his face and saying, our plan is going to come true and not yours.
Right.
Okay. But God is trying to tell you, stay in the Bible, stay with the plan, because your plan is not my plan. Okay. I gave you some relief for about 4 years.
Right.
But when that relief was over, you saw them get worse and worse and worse. I mean, to the point that if they didn't win that election, they were going to start a war with China.
Yeah.
If they didn't win that, for them to win that election, they were burning down neighborhoods. They were causing riots. They were anything that they could do to make this person look bad so we can get back into government and we can start back on Lucifer's plan, because this guy is ruining Lucifer's plan. Uh-huh. So since he was ruining Lucifer's plan, they wanted him out of there. And so you saw them getting worse. All those people that were at the White House on that day and the shootings that happened and tearing up stuff, don't you know that had to be allowed?
Yeah.
Don't you know the people that had control of that allowed those people to be able to rush in and to do that? So it looked like chaos that this one man is responsible for, and he's the reason why they're there. When they started arresting people, most of them were Antifa and Black Lives Matter people and weren't even there for Trump. But this is what they were doing, because they have to get this guy out of here because he's ruining things. He's shutting down child pedophilia. He's arresting child pedophiles. He's breaking up everything that they have worked for all these years. Okay?
Amen.
You in Zechariah? We'll start at chapter 14, verse 1. And it says here, the day of the Lord is coming, when your plunder will be divided among you. I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. How many nations? All nations are going to gather to fight against Jerusalem. America's not left out of that. A matter of fact, when the rapture happens, America is going to join in the one world government. Do you know that? After the rapture happens, this is going to be one of the one world. A matter of fact, it is the military might for the false prophet, the beast, and the Antichrist. The military might is going to be the United States.
Yeah.
So the United States is headed to one world government.
Mm-hmm.
United States is headed to falling in line with Lucifer's plan, because all nations are going to fall in line with Lucifer's plan.
Bible says.
So don't try to rewrite your own book and stop paying all this money to go to these patriot conventions so that you can pray for the reestablishment of America, because you're in the last days.
Amen.
Go to them and pray for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that Christ can come back and clean up this place, and then now we can have a true government and a true king and the peace that we really want. But there will be no utopia given to man that's going to come out of the hands of men.
Amen.
Let's read this. Okay. So it says here, all nations will be gathered. I will gather all nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. The cities will be captured, the houses ransacked, the women ravaged. Half of the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will not be taken from the city. Now, as soon as I read that, a Jewish guy goes, you know what? You just read that, but that's talking about something that's already happened. I said, hold up, I'm not finished reading. It says in verse 3,
the Lord will go out of the Lord will go out and fight against those nations as he fought in the days of battle. On that day, his feet will stand on Mount Olive, east of Jerusalem.
So now we're not talking about something that's already happened, because Jesus' feet have not come back to land on Mount Olive.
That's right.
So what he's talking about, this happening, all nations coming against Israel, and this big war, and Israel being given a place to go and hide and to cover, which Revelation talks about, and then Jesus comes back and placing his foot on Mount Olive. And then, so now Jesus, this is talking about his return, okay? But when he returns, look what's going on. All nations, not America. America's awesome. We love America. No, you gave up that citizenship. And you're not going to be proud of America. If you're living in the tribulation, you are not going to be proud of it. There will be no America. Open borders for everybody. One world, one government, one cash, one religion. That's it. Okay? If you're looking for something different, you are trying to write your own book. And your book's not going to work. What God has planned is about to work. Okay?
Amen.
Let's go to the board. Turn your Bible to Genesis. I got the tongue twisters going tonight. The slibbity slab. See, my wife's here. She always reminds me. Listen, you guys. One of the sisters wrote me, and she wrote me on a Thursday. And I didn't read my emails on Thursday. But on Sunday, God gave me, in the middle of the night, God said, go back and read Genesis chapter 8. So I'm listening to Genesis chapter 8 on my phone as I'm laying there, and it's going through the sequence of the ark. Like, what happened while they were on the ark? You know, from the first day of closing the door and everybody going in, what day did it start? 17th of Heshvan. Okay. Then after that, then what happened? Then they were on the boat for 150 days, and then the boat stopped on Mount Ararat, reversed the curse. On what day? 17th of Nisan. That's exactly 5 months later. So how many days does it say? 150 days. That's when it landed on Mount Ararat, okay? So we know that after the flood started, They were on the boat for at least 150 days, right?
Amen.
And while they're on the boat for the 150 days, all the chaos and stuff that's going on in the world, that's all around them. It's not affecting them, but it's all around them. You understand?
Yeah.
They're staying on the ark. Now, if they want to go swimming, they have problems. But as long as they stay on the boat, they can be on the boat while the troubles around them and still be protected. You are still on the ark. Stay in Christ. Stay protected. Okay? And don't begin to think, I think I'll just jump off the boat and just go hang out with them. No. Stay on the boat. Everybody understand. So the ark experience is lasting a little bit longer than we were anticipating. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Right.
We thought it'd be a flood, they'd be done, then it'd dry up, and then we'd be back, or we'd have, you know. So they're on the boat, and the 150 days has passed. Now, in Genesis chapter 8, they start telling us about more that's going on the boat. And so now I start reading. I'm going to go to Genesis chapter 8.
And what verse?
let's go to verse 1. It says, God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Now, the springs of the deep and the floodgates of heaven had been closed,
and the rain had stopped falling and stopped falling from the sky. The rain has stopped falling from the sky. The waters receded steadily from the earth. The end of 150 days came. The waters had gone down on the 17th day of the seventh month, and the ark came to rest on Mount Ararat. So after 150 days, that's three jubilees, you have the boat come to rest on the 17th of Nisan, the same day that Jesus Christ is later going to reverse the curse. That's what Ararat means, right?
Yes.
He's going to reverse the curse on the 17th of Nisan, but it's 5 months after Heshvan. So how many days are in a month? Because you go from the 17th to the 17th. How many days are in a month? 30 days, okay? We're talking about God is on his calendar, okay? So you got 5 times 30, and you have 150 days. Now, it's going to give us more understanding now, okay? You in 4? Okay, here's 5. The waters continued to recede until the 10th month, okay? And on the 5th day, no, that's not where I want to read. Let's see. We had the 4. And the waters were gone down on the 7th day, and the waters continued to recede until the 10th month. We'll keep going. And on the 1st day of the 10th month, the top of the mountains became visible. Ooh, that's what, we didn't miss it. Okay, so now let's look at that. So, no, we're going to go back to the board. So now, this right here, Nisan was the 7th month of the year. It says the waters continue to recede until the 10th month. Remember, Nisan was the 7th month. So until the 10th month of the year. So this is the 7th month. This is the 8th month. This is the 9th month. Tammuz is the 10th month of the year. You see that? Tammuz is the 10th month of the year. What day is famous in Tammuz? The 17th, the day that he came down and they were sinning and he broke the stones, right? So on the 7th, so now they're in the month of Tammuz. It's the first day of Tammuz, and it's going to be 40 more days, which is going to lead you to the 9th, 10th of Av, which is the 9th of Av is what? The day both temples were destroyed, right? So we've got all of this action going on. And now on the 9th, after 40 days, on the 9th and 10th of Av, he sends out a raven to go and explore the land. The raven says, the raven flies around until the whole earth was dry. The raven never came back. Because the raven does what? He eats flesh. So I'm sure he was finding plenty of flesh. Now, when he released the raven, he also released the dove, okay? This he did on the 9th of Av, okay? I'm counting this, okay? It's the 17th of Nisan, 13 more days to the end of Nisan. Then we have 2 more months pass. The 8th month, the 9th month, we come to the 1st day of the 10th month, and as he says, it's 40 days, so we come to the 9th, 10th of Av, he releases a raven, the raven goes out, he also releases a dove, and the dove goes out. So let's read that, okay? It says, after 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the ark and sent out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the water had dried up from the earth. Then he sent out a dove to see if the waters had receded from the surface of the ground. Now, when you read it in Hebrew, he says he sent out a raven and also a dove, okay? So it's no like he sent out a raven first and then he waited a few days. No, he sent out a raven and he sent out a dove at the same time. Okay? So, the raven, of course, doesn't come back. But it says, but the dove in verse 9 could find no place to set its feet because there was water over the surface of the earth. So it returned to Noah in the ark. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days. So I put that 7 days up there. He waited 7 more days and again sent out the dove from the ark. When the dove returned to him that evening, okay, so he sends him out in the day. In the evening time, the dove comes back, okay? There in his beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf, which is a symbol of Israel. Then Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days. I put that 7 days on the board. He sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return to him. Okay? So now the dove does not come back. This is when God says, go downstairs and write that down. It's 4:53 in the morning. Go downstairs and write that down because you don't forget. So I went downstairs. I'm writing down this information. Drea's like, where are you? What are you doing? I'm downstairs. I'm writing down some scripture. And then, of course, we get the message for Sunday. Okay. So I added up all the days that they spent on the ark. 150 days, 17th of Nisan, 13 day more days left in the month after the 17th of Nisan, then the 8th month, then the 9th month, then the 10th month on the first day, and 10 all the way to the 19th of Tammuz is the evening. The day starts in the evening. So he sends out the raven, and then the raven doesn't return. Then the dove comes back with he waits, and then he sends out the dove again. The dove comes back with a leaf in his mouth from the olive branch representing Israel. Then after that, he sends the dove out again 7 more days, and the dove does not return. And the Lord goes, there you go. Once the Holy Spirit leaves, that's it for you guys. That would be the end of your ark experience. But for now, everyone needs to know you're still on the ark. Okay? Now, I'm taking a chance by doing this because I don't want to confuse anybody, but I want you to understand. I counted up all the days, 277 days from the beginning of the flood to the sending out the dove and the dove leaving. That was 277 days. Been trying to do a gematria on 277 days. Have not been able to do it yet, but I am going to get to it. Now, this is what I want you to understand. When did the flood start? We know. What day did the flood start? The 17th of Heshvan. Remember last year on the 17th of Heshvan? We were all hoping Donald Trump was going to win. Oh man, if Donald Trump wins, then we will have kept the Luciferians out of the White House for 4 more years. So every Christian was hoping Donald Trump was going to win on that day. But it just happens to be that the election day was on the 17th of Heshvan, the same day of the flood. Wow. So if Donald Trump wins, then there's no real flood. We go back to normal. But if Donald Trump loses, a flood starts because now we got Luciferians back in the White House. Now, what happens 40 days after a president is elected? They have to confirm whether it's a legitimate win or not. So exactly 40 days later, on December 14th, they confirm that Biden won fairly. Now, if they were Pinocchios, all of them nose would have been 6 feet long. Okay? But they confirmed that he won. So 40 days later, it was official, you got Luciferians back in the White House. Yep. Child pedophilia is now back on. Yep. All of this evil that was going on before
is now going to get restarted. And now they're going to start, they're going to take away rights in Israel. They're going to reestablish Iran's, their relationship with Iran. They're going to do all of these things. So now Lucifer is back after the 40 days. It was confirmed. So now you start looking at all of the things that are happening after 40 days. So I said, okay, Lord, if we start counting from the 17th of Hezron, in 40 days we lost the presidency and Luciferians are back in the White House, how do we know that all this is based on America? Because the guy that I used to establish that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews was an American president. Okay. If you ask God a question, he'll answer it. So I went, okay, so count all the days, 277 days, and then what day do you land on? It's August 7th of 2021. Now, the ninth, the true ninth of Av is not until the 16th and 17th. So in them not keeping the calendar, did we lose days? Did we lose a month? Did we not? But one thing's for absolutely sure, 277 days after the flood began ends August 7th, which is the summertime, the wheat harvest. If it lasts till the 9th of Av, there's still the summertime, the wheat harvest. But the incredible thing is that we're in the month, we're in the year of the 121st year. Now, if you continue reading down, it says Noah in the 601st year of Noah's life. This thing, this craziness began, that they began to take the, he took the lid off of the ark, and now they're going to get started with meeting Nimrod and getting started into a one world government. But God wanted me to know, your situation ends when the dove leaves. But now he's telling another story about the establishment of nations and then Nimrod coming in and making all nations one. Okay, which is what the statue, the monument that was showed you in the beginning was. It is a symbol of Nimrod and the whole thing that happened with Nimrod and the one world government. And so they put the Washington Monument in Washington, D.C., and it's called an obelisk. Now they have another one at the Vatican. And it's now, this is what they do. If you are an Egyptian, you have an obelisk because you're trying to bring back Nimrod. Okay? So the king would come out and he would stand in front of the phallus or the obelisk and request for the return of Nimrod. In keeping with the religion of the Babylonians and the Egyptians, the Americans and the Vatican put an obelisk so that every time a new leader comes, they can go out and request for the return of Nimrod. That's why they're there, okay? This is a spiritual thing going on. The same time we're here, this whole spiritual war is going on. And if you don't understand it, you'll lose the concept and begin to think that the Washington Monument is there as a wonderful symbol for America. There's so many 666 symbols inside of that obelisk, we could stay here all day and just teach on that, okay? Then you look at the back of the United States dollar bill, and that same all-seeing eye is at the top of a pyramid, the eye of Lucifer, right? You got Mason on the back of the dollar bill. Everything. So this whole war is going on and America is right in the mix of it. And we're being guided by Luciferians. And we got Christians that are trying to save America over being raptured, over having the relationship with Christ. God's story is going to come true because the Bible is going to come true. Revelation 13 is going to come true. The whole world will worship the beast. That's going to come true. They've already said that they have a ten kings that are going to be established once the rapture happens. The what is it called? The what they've established that they're going, the Club of Rome has established that they're going to turn the world into 10 regions. But they can't do it until when? Until the one who is holding them back is removed out of the way.
Yes.
And so all of what the Bible is saying is going to happen. So I'm pleading with you to do this. Get back to the Bible, okay? Stop letting these people charge you $200 to go to a conference and buying t-shirts about the return of Trump, because that is not what we're looking for. We're looking for the Bible to happen, and for it to begin to happen, the church has to get out of the way, meaning go to heaven, and then now the tribulation will start, and so now God can begin his the effect of rescuing the nation of Israel, and then Christ can come back and establish the millennium kingdom, which he will be king, and then you will have what the Bible said and what God's story says, and stop looking for the great revival. Praise God.
Amen.
Love you guys.